Welcome, everyone, to another episode of A Sister and Her Mister. Today, we have Dr. Ellis. She is a naturopathic doctor who helps women balance hormones, fix crappy periods, and regain energy they once had to be their happiest, healthiest selves. Dr. Ellis was diagnosed with a rare form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which was the turning point in her life and prompted her to pursue her dreams of becoming a naturopathic doctor. Having had a cancer diagnosis at such a young age, Dr. Ellis's mission is to empower those to take control of their health.
Doctor said you got PCOS. Now go on, girl, just lose some weight. Till I took the symptoms into my own hands and reversed them naturally. So I became a dietitian to help my sisters feel the best they've ever felt. Take a step in my direction if you wanna prove them wrong and take control of yourself. Join a sister and a
Welcome, Dr. Ellis. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm super excited. I'm sorry Sita can't join us today. He will be at our house that we recently purchased. We're doing some demo, so he has to be there with the contractors and everything. So we're trying to multitask.
No worries. He's here in spirit.
Yes, yes. So I'm super excited to talk to you, especially with your history of your cancer diagnosis mm-hmm. and overcoming that. And I think it's such an important story to share and message to share with other women who have PCOS and who want to heal their hormones and also, you know, prevent PCOS from kind of snowballing into other conditions. And one of the conditions with PCOS is like, it's an inflammatory condition and other inflammatory conditions can occur with it. And then sometimes, you know, endometrial cancer, especially if you don't have your period for years and years, can be something that doctors mention. So tell us a bit of, tell me, and I say us because it feels like Sita's here. Tell me a bit about your experience with patients who have PCOS and hormonal conditions.
Yeah, so it's interesting. A lot of women come to me and they say that they've had or they have PCOS. And so we'll dive into, you know, what's going on. And then I ask them how they were diagnosed. And most oftentimes, like it's very rare that a patient actually had, you know, the criteria done or even did like a transvaginal ultrasound to check, you know, if there's any actual cysts on the ovaries. You don't always have to have those present, but, you know, it's usually a big sign of it. So they'll come to me and saying that they have PCOS and they feel like they carry this diagnosis forever, which, you know, could be true, but you can, you know, reverse it and make it so that it's not present and not, you know, wreaking havoc on your hormones and your overall health. So we dive into the why. It's like, well, is it, you know, due to a hormone imbalance? Is it due to a blood sugar imbalance? And then we dive a little bit deeper into that and we're looking at the why. And that's why I love naturopathic medicine, is because it's really trying to get to the root of what's going on and diving into that rather than just being like, oh, okay, you have PCOS, that sucks, there's nothing that can be done, you know, you might have to do fertility treatments in the future, etc. It's no, there's a better way if we get to the root and figure out, you know, with anything, like what's driving it and what's causing it, because your body really does have the innate ability to heal itself if we know what's going on and then how we can give it what it needs. So exactly. That's how I address really anybody that comes into my office. It's like, okay, well, you have this condition or this symptom, why? And so I'm like that nagging toddler, like, why? Like always asking why is this happening? And so that's how I approach it when, you know, patients come in. And I've also seen too, like with PCOS, I don't see it present when I start digging a little deeper. I'm like, well, maybe you reversed it. Maybe you don't have it anymore. Maybe it wasn't even a true diagnosis in the past. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, there are patients that do have the PCOS. And again, I'm looking at, well, what's driving it? What's causing it? And then we work on that specific area. And then oftentimes their symptoms are improved and they, you know, feel like a lot better than when they first, you know, came to me.
What are some of the most common things you see impacting women with PCOS and really driving those root factors that bring up the symptoms?
Typically, I see usually with the something with their period, whether it's, you know, not they're not having it or it's super irregular. So that tells me there's something going on with their ovaries and they're likely not ovulating, because if they don't ovulate, you don't make progesterone, and progesterone is what, you know, thickens your endometrial lining that you shed out every month. Or it's probably an imbalance with blood sugar causing, you know, the higher androgens or the testosterone. So then they have the, you know, the more androgenic signs of PCOS, like the acne or oily skin, maybe hair loss or hair growth. Those are probably like the two most common ones that I see when patients come to me with this PCOS diagnosis.
Do you feel like stress really impacts our hormones? And how are some of the ways that this affects PCOS?
Oh, 100% stress. I would say probably 110%, maybe even more. Stress is really, honestly, probably the underlying cause for almost every health complaint that there is, not just PCOS. But for us women, it legit wreaks havoc on our hormones. Why? Well, first of all, let's talk about what stress, when we talk about stress, it's not necessarily physiological stress, but it could also be mental stress or just, you know, body stress, like your body's stressed out for some reason, not necessarily like you're stressed out. So that's where, again, we're diving into the whole stress response and figuring out what it is for you. And you could have a combination of a few of those different things. But we measure stress in the body by cortisol, really. Cortisol is our stress hormone that's pumped out by our adrenal glands. And we have two adrenal glands. We have one on each side of our, on the back side of our body, on top of our kidneys. They're little almond-shaped glands, and they pump out cortisol. And cortisol is really the hormone that gets us out of bed. It's also the one that's released when we're, you know, in a state of, not endorphins, but epinephrine, like go, 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 like state of, you know, fight or flight mode. That's the hormone that gets you going. So if you're in a chronic state of stress, this hormone could be pretty high. And if we have too much cortisol, this induces what's known as an inflammatory response that can cause us to gain weight. It can cause insulin to rise. It therefore causes testosterone to rise. So there's a whole like cascade of events that can happen if we have too much cortisol. But then we're also back to the why. Why do we have too much cortisol? And it's probably due to this underlying stress response that we haven't dealt with. I mean, we all have stress. Who doesn't? If you say you don't, I would beg to guess that you're probably fibbing. Like, we all have some sort of stress. And it's just really important that we recognize that and we start working on ways to manage the stress. Because in naturopathic medicine, I like to say that stress is an obstacle to cure, because I can't really help you do the things that you need to do on a daily basis. Like, I'm not in your house 24/7, you know, saying, oh, you know, take a bath or read a book or do some grounding exercise or breathing exercise or meditate or take a walk. Like, those are those practices that, you know, you need to figure out and do what's best for you so that we can manage the stress to get those healthy cortisol levels to really start balancing those hormones.
What if you had an app for PCOS that could tell you what to eat, when to work out, and how to track your goals every day?
Introducing the Sisterhood app. Not only does the Sisterhood app give you access to the largest community of women with PCOS, but it also provides you with a daily PCOS plan.
Your daily PCOS plan tells you exactly what to eat for each meal of the day. It's like having me as a dietitian in your pocket. It also sends you a notification when it's time to work out, and it provides step-by-step videos to help you reverse your biggest PCOS symptoms.
You also get access to 100-plus gluten and dairy-free recipes, the 5 Steps to PCOS Weight Loss Masterclass, and a full PCOS-friendly workout library to choose from.
But let's not forget the most crucial component of PCOS weight loss, the support. You're not alone. In the Sisterhood, you become part of the largest community of PCOS women, where you can chat with us in our private Facebook group. Sirak, myself, and your fellow sisters are in there every day to answer your questions and support you along the way.
So what are you waiting for? You can head over to the App Store and search Sisterhood, or click the link in the description to get started today.
See you in there.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes we get used to living our life a certain way and we don't realize that it could be stressful. You know, like
absolutely.
You just accept mm-hmm. it as your normal, especially if the people around you are on the same level of stress as you. So mm-hmm. it's like you kind of accept it and say it is what it is. You know, I personally have had experience like that, like in college, for example. I was getting really bad sleep, you know, sleeping really late, socializing a lot, but then studying mm-hmm. really hard and spending a lot of time in the library, making no room for self-care, really like dedicating myself to the work. But mm-hmm. then because I was not taking care of myself and so stressed out, I wasn't even able to focus, which made me work more and harder. And it just like that stress made it harder to function. It triggered mm-hmm. a lot of PCOS symptoms, which in turn made me stressed. And the cycle, the vicious cycle continued. And I justified it by saying, you know what, you know, I'm in college, it's hard. There's a lot, you know, of pressure on me. And I just said, like, it is what it is. Until mm-hmm. one day I went to a naturopathic doctor who was like, you gotta chill, you know,
right?
You need to stop like overstudying. You need to relax and sleep better so you can really pay attention and like absorb what's going on in the classroom and not have to study so hard afterwards. And, you know, that piece of advice was really pivotal because I just realized that like the effect that it was having on my health wasn't worth, you know, whatever I was doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, making that change actually helped me learn easier in school and like actually succeed, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm the same way in medical school. I mean, that was what one thing I don't think I've ever compromised sleep, even through my diagnosis of cancer and that whole journey. And even, you know, back in high school and in college, it's like, I don't ever think I've compromised sleep. I love to sleep. And as I've, you know, grown and obviously went through medical school, I've learned how important sleep is. So I'm really glad, like for me personally, that I've had healthy sleep habits. But yeah, if you're someone that, you know, puts sleep on the back burner or has horrible sleep, that's one thing we most definitely need to work on too. And in addition to the stress management is we got to get you sleeping.
Yeah, totally. And another thing that stress really impacts is our thyroid, wouldn't you say? Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Well, our thyroid plays a giant role in every single organ system in our body. So it has a direct relation with our cardiovascular system or your heart, your digestive system, your reproductive system. So your periods, fertility, your temperature control, your mood. So if we're in a chronic state of stress, like the thyroid's going to take a toll. So it's going to try and, you know, compensate and pump out more hormone, and kind of the same thing with the adrenals. Like your body can only sustain so much, and then it becomes a little bit sluggish and what I like to call tired. It's like, well, mm-hmm. it's not super happy right now, so let's nourish it. But again, instead of just throwing medication at you or whatever the case is, it's like, well, why is your thyroid stressed? Like why is it trying to, you know, want more hormone than is necessary, or, you know, have that rise in that thyroid stimulating hormone or TSH that's showing that it's a little stressed out or underactive. And again, it goes back to stress. I mean, you might very well have an underactive thyroid where you need medication, and that could be, you know, a reason why your periods are off or maybe absent, or maybe why you can't conceive. It's because your thyroid's not optimal, but we're still looking at, you know, the why, and stress is a big factor in thyroid health.
Absolutely. So what are some of the tips that you have for patients that come in with PCOS, struggling with stress management? Maybe it's also affecting their thyroid, since that is one of like the root issues of PCOS mm-hmm. symptoms. What would you tell your patient if that is the picture that you're seeing?
Well, for one, we'll look at the why and making sure that we prioritize self-care, just like you were talking about, that was really pivotal for you. I think it's really important for us to step back and ask ourselves, what part of today or where in my day today have I taken care of myself or done something for me? Not because I feel like I had to, but because I need to or I want to. I think that's really important to do. And it doesn't have to be hours of time. It could be 15 minutes. And that's just making sure that you prioritize you. A lot of times we go to the gym because that's our self-care, but exercise can actually stress your body out even more if you don't even know where you're starting with. So obviously that is something that we need to address too, is like, well, is the exercise actually, you know, making things go in the reverse direction? But, you know, again, it's trying to figure out, you know, the time that you spend for you and focus on you for that self-care. I think diet plays a giant role in all of stress management too. And it plays a role in our cortisol levels too, because if we eat, like, say, breakfast, you know, most oftentimes women are eating breakfast and sometimes they're not, but if our breakfast is too high in carbohydrates, which women generally eat a lot more carbs than they do protein, but if you start your day off with a lot of carbohydrates, it's actually going to drop your cortisol levels and increase your insulin levels, which insulin has a huge component to PCOS. And then that can drive your testosterone high and have the more androgenic effect. So we really want to start off with our breakfast by making sure that we have, you know, a higher protein and not as many carbs. I mean, carbs are good. We need the carbohydrates, but we want to make sure we look at the diet and we start off that day with a good, healthy, packed protein breakfast. And I know you provide a lot of good recipes for that. So check out some breakfast recipes and making sure you're prioritizing that. And my third tip would be making sure that we prioritize hydration. Hydration is something that kind of gets lost. And I used to ask patients like, oh, how much water do you drink a day? And they'll say, oh, I drink a lot. I'm like, all right, well, instead of saying that, I say, how many ounces of water do you drink a day? Because my definition of a lot is a different than your different definition of a lot. And oftentimes patients think that two bottles of water is a lot of water. And that's really not enough water. So we want to make sure that we stay hydrated. And that's just water. It doesn't include, you know, soda or tea or anything like that, that actually can dehydrate you, even alcohol. But dehydration, like if you're dehydrated, it can raise your cortisol or that stress hormone. And therefore it can impact your metabolism, which can cause you to store, you know, things as fat. So hydration is super important. And we want to, a good rule of thumb is at least half your body weight in ounces of water. So if you weigh 140 pounds, 150 pounds, like getting 70 to 80 ounces of water. If you're in a climate that's hot, like I live in Arizona, so we're in the desert, you might require more water. If you're working out and sweating a lot, you definitely need more water. In a job where you're out in the heat and you're, you know, expending a lot of that water, mm-hmm. we need to make sure you replenish. But those are probably like the top three, you know, things that I like to focus on. Those are really the foundations for health in a lot of things, not just with PCOS too.
Yeah. How many bottles of water is 70 ounces, would you say?
So a bottle of water is about 16 ounces. So you want to get probably four to five bottles of water. Yeah. And it's easy to measure water nowadays. I think, I mean, bottles, I don't really like the bottled water just because of the plastics, but if that's all you can do, then that's what you can do. But like we have the Stanleys and we have the Yetis and the, you know, of the day, which are pretty good to measure. Like I have a Stanley and I know that I drink plenty of water, so I don't measure it. But for my women that don't know, it's, I like to do the rubber band trick. So say you have a Stanley and your goal is to drink a gallon of water. So you probably want to get three of those in. So you can put a little, you can put three rubber bands on your Stanley in the morning. And then every time you go fill it up, you take a rubber band off. So then you know that you've drank however X amount, because a day can get away from you and you're like, wait, how much water did I drink today?
Yeah.
Did I drink enough water? I don't remember how many times I filled it up. So you can do like the rubber band trick is a good way to track it.
Oh, I love that. That's great. Mm-hmm. I have my Stanley cup. I've been using it for a while. You know, sometimes you forget to wash the thing, put it in the dishwasher. But yeah, it's super helpful. I feel like a lot of people who work from home now, it's like part of our uniform to have a Stanley cup in our hands.
I know, right?
But I wanted to go back to what you said about protein and diet, because I'm a dietitian. I love this subject. And I found it really pivotal for me when I changed my diet and started eating 35 grams of protein for breakfast, whether it's from a protein shake or a bit of a protein shake, and then maybe some high protein pancakes or something like that. Just because it's hard to get 35 grams of protein without a protein shake, I have found, as it turns out, especially if you're not hungry to eat a lot of volume in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it has made such a difference for me personally. I used to eat like, it was so bad. I used to eat just like a piece of bread, cheese and a little jam for breakfast.
Yep.
And that's like a typical breakfast in, you know, my household. As like, I'm Armenian, you know, it's just like bread, feta cheese, maybe, and some like homemade jam. And that's breakfast. Right. And it's gluten, it's dairy, and it's sugar. And what is that setting me up for the rest of the day, you know? Mm-hmm. So then, you know, but when I finally realized the impact that it's having, and the most obvious impact that it was having was on my skin, my cystic acne. Once I changed that breakfast, it kind of helped set up my mindset for the rest of the day and the food choices that I was going to make for the rest of the day, but also helped me with improving cravings and insulin sensitivity for the rest of the day. And I think that's number one, like super important with PCOS, is constantly thinking like, what am I doing for my blood sugar? What am I doing for my stress hormones as a result? Because if our blood sugar is all over the place, we're going to be stressed out. And then if the food that we're eating is like inflammatory, like gluten, dairy, and sugar for breakfast, you know, we're going to have chronic stress throughout the day. It's just going to have, like, our body is just going to release those chemicals that are stress chemicals. So I was just, I remember I was just creating that environment in my body without realizing it.
Oh yeah. I mean, protein, women undereat protein. We just do. And I don't really know why. I think it's just because I guess I do know why. It's likely due to our hormones, because our hormones can influence our cravings. But if you sit back and start to understand that that's the reason why, then you could be like, wait, no, I'm not going to do that. So for instance, estrogen and progesterone helps balance insulin, same with estrogen. But when we start, you know, about our menstrual cycle, both of those hormones drop. And so we don't really have anything to balance insulin. So that's why we try and, or we have those cravings, because there's nothing really, none of our other hormones to balance it. But if you start to understand that and you're like, wait, it's not really me wanting it, it's my hormones talking. And if I eat, you know, these carbohydrates or these inflammatory foods before my period, I'm probably going to get worse PMS, or, you know, feel bloated, or feel just, you know, have more cramps, et cetera. Then wait, no, I'm not going to listen to my hormones. I'm going to actually nourish my body with, you know, lean meats and proteins and good healthy fats and vegetables and fruits and things like that. That's better for me and less inflammatory. So that way I can have, you know, a manageable period. So protein is so important. And I want to go back to the whole breakfast thing. I was the same way. I used to not eat breakfast. So my first meal of the day would be maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, that's, you know, probably over time has really impacted my metabolism. Might have tanked my thyroid, put me in a adrenal state too. I don't know. I would assume, but this is before I knew anything about this, because you don't know what you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. But I used to not eat breakfast because I wasn't hungry. So it's like, well, why would I eat breakfast? I'm not hungry. Now I can't live without breakfast. And I really try and prioritize protein. I read something recently, though, that a lot of women, I can't tell you how many women come in and like, oh yeah, I have eggs for breakfast and a piece of toast. I'm like, all right, well, how many eggs? And it's usually like one or two. Well, I'm sorry to break this to you, but two eggs is not enough protein in the morning. One egg has about 6 grams of protein. So that's only 12 grams. And like you said, you know, we want to aim for 20, 30, 35, the higher, the better for the protein in the morning. So your two eggs are not really going to cut it. So that's why it's important to analyze what you're eating in a day and just making sure that you are getting ample protein. And you can totally increase the amount of eggs, like, you know, two is fine. Maybe add some egg whites that are a little bit less dense, and or maybe add cottage cheese is like, well, dairy. If you're trying to, you know, avoid the dairy for the inflammatory process, don't do the cottage cheese, but you can do like chicken sausage, or, you know, add a little protein shake on the side, like you mentioned. But yeah, breakfast is so important to make sure that we get that protein to, you know, help you feel full, and help balance your hormones, so you don't get those cravings and feelings of hunger that are actually going to, you know, wreak havoc on those hormones.
Yeah. I'm a huge advocate of eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and having like one or two snacks if you feel like you really need to in between. I totally feel like eating at certain times throughout history has been a tradition, right? Like lunch is at 12, like, you know, dinner is at like 6-ish.
Yeah.
Breakfast is at like, you know, 8 or 9-ish. Like this is how our circadian rhythm is set up, essentially.
Yep.
And when you're like skipping breakfast and drinking coffee and saying that you're fasting and you're like stressed and your blood sugar is everywhere, mm-hmm. you're really just like messing up your circadian rhythm. Mm-hmm. And as a woman, like that is where it starts with our hormones. Mm-hmm. Like if you're not eating to the beat of nature, which is yeah. like, you know, the light is out, it's morning, like it's time to eat.
Yeah.
If you're not like working with nature, your hormones won't be like working properly either.
Nope.
You know, we're kind of like one with the earth to get to
oh, yeah.
be about it. But, yeah. You know. And
even if you don't like breakfast, like there's people that don't like eggs. Fine. You don't need to eat breakfast food for breakfast. You can have, you know, chicken and rice and yeah. broccoli. Like you can eat whatever you want to eat at breakfast. It doesn't have to be breakfast foods. Just
absolutely.
Make sure you prioritize protein.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important too to train your body. So at first it might be weird to you if you're not used to it, if you're used to waking up and running out the door and not thinking about these things. But, you know, if you start with some nuts and then, you know, you increase it to an egg and then increase it to a protein shake
yeah.
or oatmeal or something, your body and metabolism will start working better and getting used to it. And, you know, sometimes people think if you just eat less, you'll lose weight. Well, after a while, when you eat less and skip meals and confuse your body, your thyroid starts to be suppressed mm-hmm. and it starts to work slower. And your thyroid is your metabolic powerhouse. So mm-hmm. how are you going to lose weight with PCOS, or how are you going to, you know, lose weight at all or have proper metabolism of the food that you're eating in the first place mm-hmm. if you're playing tricks with your hormones?
Especially oh, yeah, thyroid, absolutely.
You know?
Yep, totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it so many times with women with PCOS, just eating like very little for a really mm-hmm. long time, because that's what we're told to do so we yep. can control our weight. And in turn, you're just slowing down your metabolism more and more. And then it seems like you can't eat more than 1200 calories without gaining 10 pounds because
right.
your metabolism is just not even working. And then you blame yourself and you try to restrict instead of thinking from a perspective of how do I heal this metabolic problem that I have?
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
And how do I support my thyroid, or how do I support my stress hormones so that these things don't create like a recipe for PCOS conditions?
Yeah. And you're not only that too, but you're completely nutrient deficient. So, you know, that's when other things can happen where your hair might fall out or you're exhausted because you're just not eating enough to fill your body for what you want it to do. And mm-hmm. you're probably gaining weight too, because your body's in starvation mode. So it's going to hang on to everything that you give it and store it as fat. So it's yeah. just this negative loop that happens. And it's unfortunate that, you know, we've been told the less you eat, the more you're going to lose. And it's, you know, it might work in the beginning, but then, you know, it's not going to work. And you actually are going to do more damage than good by reducing your caloric intake.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Have we covered everything about thyroid health, like about healing our thyroid? What else could we cover? We covered exercise, protein, hydration. I think we've covered it all.
Yeah. The only other big, you know, kind of topic along that would be looking at gut health. Huge, huge with the thyroid, and also, you know, any sort of inflammatory condition like PCOS, even autoimmune components to the thyroid, like Hashimoto's or Graves' disease. We do a lot of hormone conversion in the gut. So we want to make sure that the gut is healthy. I mean, there's the gut brain connection as well. So naturopathically, like I'm always looking at the gut. Are we having healthy bowel movements and, you know, consistent bowel movements? How is your digestion? How do you feel after meals? Do you have any, you know, bloating or gas or burping or things like that? Have you had a stool test, you know, to see what your microbiome looks like? So that's another, you know, component that is super important. And then you can also, you know, nourish that gut by making sure that you prioritize fiber. I know we talked a lot about protein, but I think fiber's almost as important too, because most everyone is under eating fiber and we're only getting about maybe 10 to 15 grams of fiber a day, where we need upwards of 25 to 30. And that's going to help with protein metabolism, weight loss, like your bowel movements, hormone balance, like you name it, it's fiber is so important. And you really need to incorporate vegetables and beans in your diet almost daily to really get that fiber goal. It's kind of like you mentioned with the protein, like if you don't supplement with a shake or a powder, like it's hard to get, you know, upwards of 35 grams of protein, especially at breakfast. So also looking at fiber, because that's only going to nourish the gut and help out, you know, with the hormone metabolism overall.
Is there a test that you recommend people take to make sure that they have proper gut health?
I like GI 360 by Doctor's Data. I'm not sure if there's any off the top of my head that are direct to consumer that someone could just go on the internet and order themselves. I think actually there is one. I've done it myself. It's actually pretty good. It's called Viome, V-I-O-M-E. Anyone can order that and you can get a, you know, a good look at your gut health, and they'll give you recommendations, you know, if you need a probiotic or something like that. But you could always get that information and bring it back to your doctor, or I can help educate you on those results as well.
Awesome. And where can our listeners find you if they want to reach out and work with you?
Yeah, well, I have a podcast as well. It's called Hope Natural Health. So you can download that and take a listen to my episodes. I am very active on social media. I run my own social media channels. So you're getting me in the DMs. It's not an assistant or anybody or a bot. I am on Instagram at dr.erinellis. I'm on TikTok, same handle. Facebook. And then my website is drerinellis.com, where you can find all the goods there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Dr. Ellis. This was such an informative episode, and I hope all our listeners can, you know, think about their perspective about how they're going about their day, how it's affecting their stress hormones, and in turn, their thyroid and PCOS symptoms. And thank you so much for your inspiring story as well.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. We'll talk to you soon.
Word of mouth is our absolute best friend here at PCOS Weight Loss. So if there's someone that you know that you think might enjoy this podcast, go ahead and share it with them.
And if you don't mind, go ahead and rate and review the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to the podcast.
It really helps more than you think. Thank you so much for listening and being part of the sisterhood community. Talk to you next time.